Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Well, good morning, everybody. I did not create that video, but it was a good one, so if you want, you can clap. That's fine, but... So welcome. My name is Mike Hattinger. I'm the student ministries pastor here at Harvest Ridge. I get to fill in for Pastor Kevin today. He and Pastor Robin are on their annual winter getaway, and so we're sad for them at the beach today. But we get to be here, and we have wind, so that's something. That's good. But hey, I get to share, and we're going to culminate our marriage and family series. Over the last month or so, we've been talking about relationships, marriage, family, single people. This idea of relationships and that you know, is part of human life, and so I get to conclude that today. And so, yeah, talking specifically about marriage, a marriage issue, but this is something that can apply to singles, married alike. And so, I feel like there's a message that points to Jesus, regardless. So, but the video there, so the Snickers ad. If you've seen those, there's 100 of those. Really good. Commercials there about, well, you're not you when you're hungry. Right? When you're missing something, when you're hungry, you act out in different ways, right? When you're lacking something you need, you act out differently. Whether it's to get cranky, to be a diva, to complain, however it is, that's kind of the theme of the videos. Is when you're missing something, you act out a little bit, and that really is a truth and a problem on a deeper level for us as people, right? When we don't have something we need, whatever it is, we act out in different ways that can be unhealthy to our lives and to those around us. Now, it can be something as simple as being grumpy in a car and smacking your buddy in the head, or it can be something much deeper and, left unchecked can become even destructive to homes and relationships. So, I mean, we see this all throughout human life, right? As babies, when babies don't have what they need, they just cry and make a lot of noise. Right now, babies, they don't need much. Was it Caleb telling me they have, Luke, they're almost 1 year old, and he's saying when they're a couple months old, all they really need is sleep or food. So if they're crying, it's just one of those two. Right? You just got to figure that out. Then as you grow up a little bit, and kids, kids will have some attitudes. When they need naps, they get grumpy, they get picky, things like that. Then become a teenager, you're missing something, and so you stay out late with friends, or you post Instagram pictures with Taylor Swift lyrics and things like that. And, that's how you know they're missing something. They're acting out a little bit. Sorry. Not sorry. But then when you're adults, though, same thing. And you're adults, and it becomes more complex and a little deeper. You act out, and you have attitudes and ways to interact with people around you and your job. And when you're missing something, you act out in unhealthy ways. And it can be anything. If you're familiar with the hierarchy of needs, about 50, 60 years ago, a psychologist came up with this hierarchy of needs that humans have. And there's some debate about how perfectly it works. If you live in Eastern cultures or here, or how old you are, whether it's chronological or things like that. But the idea, though, still is there are different things that we need at the base, physiological, food and water and rest. I mean, for example, if you were if you've seen the movie Castaway or Robinson Crusoe or something like that, movie about being on an island, or if you were stranded on a desert island, you wake up, your first thought wouldn't be, I wish my dad would have hugged me a little more when I was older. Your first thought would be, I am dying of thirst. I need to find water. I need to find food and make fire, right? So once that's satisfied, then you take care of making sure you're safe, have shelter, kind of goes up, you want to be loved and you feel like you fit in with people. You want to be esteemed and feel like you have value. But all these different needs, right? And as you grow and as you develop into adult, you have all these things mixed in together inside you. You want to be esteemed. You want to be valued. You want to feel like you have financial security. You want to feel like you have literal security or political, that your country's not going to go to war. You want these things. You desire these things. You want friendship. You want intimacy. And all these things are mixed together, and you have these deficiencies and needs and wants and desires. Sometimes you realize when they're being met. Sometimes you don't recognize when they're being met. And, that's what advice and counselors and things are good for. But you have all these things inside you, all these things you need. And then in a marriage, you get together with someone else who also has all these mixture of needs and issues, and whether they're aware or not, and you bring them together. And now you're connected, and you're plopping these things on one another and trying to figure out this life together with all these things you need, right? It can be hard to figure out whether you recognize it or not. Sometimes, again, you're very aware, sometimes you're not, but you can begin to act out a little bit and being healthy with the other person. Obviously, if you're in a marriage, spousal relationship, they're going to be affected the most. And you know, I can identify a little bit, been married almost 2 years, so a little bit, but now I felt frustrated and confused at times. I'm a guy, so I felt confused at times. That's all right. You know, you could feel those things, feel frustrated, feel confused, feel tired. And now if those things don't get met, those needs don't get met, stay empty and unresolved, they can turn into deeper things like hopelessness and feeling trapped and feeling desperate, become more severe and the reactions become more pronounced, right? Because you're bringing these needs into a life and you're having to carry the other person's and share with the other person's, and this can become a complicated thing. So if you've experienced this, that's one of the problem I want to talk about today is this idea of being empty and needing something and acting out and how that works in a marriage a little bit. That's a good example of it. Right, so what do we do? What do we do when we're facing this issue of I'm empty, or this other person's empty, and there's just tension in it, and it, if it go unchecked, it can really become destructive. So if that's a problem that you're facing, an issue, that's what I want to talk about a little bit. Now, I understand, so I want to make sure I understand that I'm not here to solve all marital issues, right? Like this 25-minute message isn't going to, you know, be the ultimate key that everyone needs for perfect marriage on here and now. I understand that. I want to humbly approach this, but I think it's a piece of the puzzle. I think reading through the scripture that we're going to go through, there's some wisdom here that can bring a piece to the puzzle that helps make things a little more whole and complete for us. And so that's what I want to offer today. So here's where we're going to go. Here's the roadmap for the next few minutes, 20 minutes or so. We'll let you know kind of step by step how I want to share. So we're gonna read a passage of scripture from a writer who had an encounter with Jesus and is answering questions that people are having. I'm gonna read a scripture from the writer Paul. Then I want to share what the main point is. I want to give you one main point to take away today. One main thought, one main point, and then why that's true. A couple reasons of why that point is true. All right, so we'll read a scripture, we'll talk about the main point, then we'll look at how we can live this out because Jesus is our model. How we look to Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment and the example of how to live this advice out. And then finally, so what do we do with that? All right, what do we do with all this info, this main point, these reasons? So that's what we're going to go over the next few minutes. Read a scripture, go over the main point, see how Jesus is the model for it, and then so what does it mean for your life and my life today? So if I can ask you to stand as we're going to read this scripture, inspired. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So if you have a paper Bible or have your app with you, I'll give you a second to open that up. First, flip to or scroll to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. 1 Corinthians 7. Here's what it says. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. Now this word caught me because, you know, understanding the word conjugal, the only time I think I'd ever seen it was like in TV shows where it was like a prison, like this, people get conjugal visits or whatever. So I was like, okay, how did this word show up here in this New Testament passage? Really, so looking at what the original word from the original language is, the Greek is the word ophelo. Ophelo, and it's used in other places literally as like a debt or a tax or a payment. And so what it's saying is, don't hold back on this thing that this person is owed. This is their thing that they are owed, that they need to be paid or fulfilled. And that's what this word is, this conjugal right is, this debt, this thing that this person needs. So husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Sounds great. And then we hear, likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. All right, so giving these rights and letting go of authority, If I can say a word of prayer and invite God's clarity here this morning. So Jesus, I want to thank you for today, for the chance to learn some wisdom, to see you more clearly, understand who we are, how to live. Lord, that your spirit would be here. Let me say the words that need to be said and let these people hear. And only you can change lives. So Jesus, do something good. Change our lives today. I pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you. All right, so from this passage that we read of giving the other, the spouse, what they're owed and letting go of authority of yourself, here's kind of the point that I want to share today is you alone hold your spouse's romantic fulfillment in your hands. That's the main point. You alone hold your spouse's romantic fulfillment in your hands. You are the only legitimate source of romantic fulfillment they have in the world. Not even themselves. You alone. It's a big responsibility. That's what I want to share. It's a big responsibility that you're carrying as a spouse. You alone hold this need they have, this fulfillment they have. You alone hold this. And I want to kind of define a little bit what I mean by romantic fulfillment. I mean is kind of the things that come along with a designed marriage relationship. Right? Reading through the story of God's people all the way back, the story of the beginning in the book of Genesis, it says, for a man will leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. So this is from the very beginning, the story that God designed. I think we have that. From the very beginning, God designed this relationship between a man and a woman that the man leaves his family and holds to his wife. And Jesus affirms this. In Matthew, Jesus shares this as well and says, yes, this is part of God's designed plan. As there's this relationship that God has designed for humanity that involves a man and wife and kind of clinging to each other and two flesh becoming one. And so that's what I talk about when I say romantic fulfillment. Yeah, it's repeated. This idea is repeated all throughout the story of God's people. That there's a unique relationship between a man and a woman. And so that's what I mean. When I say romantic fulfillment, I mean the kind of fulfillment that comes from this specific designed relationship. Right, so things like sexuality, things like intimacy. Right, so that's what I mean when I say romantic fulfillment. Because I want to make sure I'm also, being clear here. This does not mean that your entire value and fulfillment as a human being is dependent on another person. Okay, I'm not saying that. That is impossible. You cannot expect or carry the weight of someone else's entirety of their life and their fulfillment on you. Okay, so I'm talking about something specific here, a romantic fulfillment in the defines of marriage, not as a whole human being. So if you're single and you're wanting a partner, a spouse one day, you cannot have the mindset of, okay, I feel broken, I feel this, and as long as I just find the right person, once I find this spouse, they're going to solve all this in me. That's an impossible weight to give someone to carry, and it's impossible for you to give that to somebody else. Right, we're broken, we're all broken, so if two broken people get together, as a whole, trying to do that reminds me of a game we would play at camp called Leaky Bucket, where you would get a bucket and it would have a bunch of holes in it, and you'd have to plug as many holes as possible, right, and bring it over to a barrel and fill it in. So you get it filled up, and as you're running, it's pouring out the sides, and you got to figure out, how do you fill their barrel up? Now the one year we use the same barrels every year over and over again, and one of them was rusting really bad, and you couldn't really tell, but about three-fourths of the way up, it was rusted through just enough that it would fill and it would seep out the side. And so the one team was like filling, and it's not going past that three-fourths. It's just staying there. And that's kind of the image of what it is. You're trying to fill someone else's broken barrel with your brokenness. There's always going to be something missing. So I want to make sure that I'm not saying you can't, not carrying the weight of another person's value and entire fulfillment in their life, right? That's like playing leaky bucket with other leaky buckets. It's not going to work. But what I am saying is in the confines, the designs of a marriage relationship, there's things that come along with that, sexuality and intimacy, that is a need for people. It's something that they need, something that's created in us. And if you're in a spousal relationship, you alone carry the ability to fulfill that. You're the only legitimate source of that. So you alone hold your spouse's romantic fulfillment in your hands. You alone. That's the main point I want to share today. All right, so why? Reason number one, why? Is because in marriage, rights are not shared, they're surrendered. Right, reason number one, in marriage, rights are not shared, they're surrendered. But looking back at verse 4, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. In a marriage relationship, you're not just sharing this fulfillment. You're literally letting go and saying, okay, it's in your hands. This is a little scary. So guys, you know, we operate a little bit differently. We operate a little bit differently. And you are letting go, if you're in a marriage relationship, you're letting go of your sexual fulfillment to someone who doesn't identify always with your mental or physical urges and the way we feel. And ladies, you're letting go of your desire to be known and loved to a guy with rough edges who doesn't know what you're feeling half the time and doesn't know what you're thinking any of the time. That's a scary thing. Like, you're letting this, it's in their hands. It's a tough thing. This is how it's designed, is you're literally letting go of this authority you have, of this. It's a little bit like, so when people, you know, as a church, we have people who will come by and they'll need, you know, they'll ask for money, ask for food, things like that. And there are times where I will take them down to the gas station and put some gas in their car, right? Put $10, $15 of gas in their car. Because we want to share, we want to be generous, we want to help people. But what I don't do is I don't give them the church credit card and say, here you go, have fun. Right? There's a difference there. One is sharing, one is surrendering. Right, but in a marriage relationship, it's surrender. So a little like my wife's gonna help me out. So Pastor Ashley, strong, intelligent woman that she is. So you have these buckets. Now we have buckets for everything that we need. All our fulfillments, all our needs. Remember, like the pyramid. We have all these things that we need in desire and friendship and food and all these things that a human needs. But this will be our romantic fulfillment bucket. So I have mine, and that's hers, because girls love dogs, I found that out. If you're having a bad day, just show a video of dogs. Makes it better a little bit. Yeah. So we have this bucket, right? And when you're dating, it's like you meet someone. Hi, I'm Mike.
Hi.
We should date. Right? And so you have this bucket and you wanna, you know, it's like, oh, you wanna share a little bit. So I wanna fill her bucket up a little bit. So I buy her gifts, like giant squishy toys which are super soft and cute, I guess. So there you go. Look at that. And there's a chocolate in there too for you. And, you know, write some notes and fill up her bucket. And likewise, you may have something. You have something for me? Aw, we can. Buffalo Wild Wings coupons. Thanks. Thanks, baby. Now, when you're dating a relationship, this is good, and you're sharing, you're giving the other person the ability to fill your bucket. Right? When you get married, what happens is you're not sharing it anymore. You release control of it, and you say, okay, this is my needs that I have, romantic fulfillment. Now it's in her hands, and the same way I have it in my hands. Now, this is still attached to me very deeply. It is attached to your heart and your soul and your mind. All right? There it is. So, second service a little slower, but you got it. Yeah. These things are attached very deeply, and there's needs there. And I've surrendered control of it, and it's in her hands to fill it, to cause pain. Right? The difference between sharing and surrendering, what Paul is saying here in Corinthians is this is what a marriage relationship looks like. You have surrendered the authority of your body, of who you are, to your spouse. So thank you, Ashley. Give her a hand. Nice. Good job, welcome. The difference between sharing and surrendering, and in marriage, your rights are not shared. They're surrendered. It's a scary thing. You're giving this need, a legitimate need you have, into the power of somebody else. So that's why number one. Why do you alone hold your spouse's romantic fulfillments in your hands is because in marriage, rights are not shared, they're surrendered. Number two, why is this true? Is because in marriage, rights are not claimed, but given. So we're talking about the spouse to the other person. So one way to look at it is, okay, I have this spouse. Now, this is the person that I get to receive from. But it's switching the idea of this is the person that I need to give to. And when those are done mutually, that's when there is health. Look again at verses 3 and verses 5 from the passage that we read. First thing is the husband should give the rights, give the things that the wife needs, and likewise the wife should give. And then verse 5, saying, do not deprive one another so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So the language here is giving and don't hold back. It's the responsibility is on the giver to make sure there is wholeness there. So you're to your spouse. Your responsibility isn't to make sure your spouse gives you what you need. Your responsibility is to make sure you give to your spouse what they need. Again, and it's there's a vulnerability there because if you give and there's no reciprocation, then you're empty. But that's the incredible covenant relationship that we're called into in this kind of relationship. So again, there's legitimate things you need. This romantic fulfillment, this sexuality and intimacy thing is a true need that God has given us. And remember, if at the very beginning, like the Snickers thing, if there's something you don't have, it's natural for us to act out a little bit. Because we live in the physical, we're broken a little bit. And so if there's something we don't need, like if you're missing air, you're missing water, you're going to want to fulfill yourself in that. Like, for example, does anyone know the adage, like, if you're really thirsty, don't drink seawater? Like, again, go back to the Castaway or things like that. If you're stranded at sea, you're not supposed to drink ocean water, even if you're incredibly thirsty, which is difficult, obviously. All you want is some water, and all around you is what? Is water. But yet, even though it looks right, and it feels right, and you drink it just like you would regular water, it ultimately is not going to satisfy. It's going to leave you more broken than before. And then, so the kind of science behind it is that it's so salty. Seawater is so salty that if you drink it, the so much salt is in there that your body will need to take extra water that it has stored already just to be able to process the salt. So the little bit of water that your cells have left, your body will take that out just to help process the salt. So even though it looks right and it feels right, it's going to leave you thirstier than before. So in the same way, if we're looking for romantic fulfillment outside of this relationship that is God designed for us, it's going to cause some bigger issues. Now, I want to say of course this doesn't justify actions, okay? You still have responsibility for your actions, but as the giver, as the spouse who gives, understand the position you're putting your spouse in. If you are holding their bucket over here and you're not filling it, they're going to be empty. They're going to look for the satisfaction in other places. So my ask is, and well, really, God's ask for us, to me, is that let's be aware of how we can give and fill the other person's bucket, how we can fill their fulfillment. Don't step on their air hose. Don't keep this water supply from them, because all you're doing is putting them at a greater disadvantage to face temptation, to face things. So be aware of what your spouse needs. Give freely, because we're broken, because, man, when we're dry and empty and face a temptation, what do? We can give into it. All right, so that's the why number two. In marriage, rights are not claimed, but given. That's why number one, in marriage, rights are not shared but surrendered. Number two, they're not claimed but given. It's a surrendering. All right, so how do we do this? Because this is a big scary thing, letting go. But we look to Jesus as our model. So now we're moving on to the next step that I show. We look to Jesus at our model. And this is to everybody. So you're single, married, here, anyone in here, this looking to Jesus, this affects you, because marriage, the marriage relationship throughout the story is supposed to be an image of us with God. A marriage is supposed to be a picture of how Jesus loves us and how we interact as a people with our Creator. And so we look to our relationship with Jesus as a model for how to live in this spousal, this marriage relationship. So Luke 9:23-24, and we're talking about this surrendering and this laying down. Here's what Jesus says. Then Jesus said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily," means die to yourself daily, "follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." This is a big thing. All right, this is, again, talking about the shared surrender. This is not, all right, I'm a human, I have this purpose, this value for my life. All right, Jesus, I want you to come along and be my buddy, and I'll take some teachings, and I'll take some of your good feelings, and I'll take some of your good vibes, and that's going to help me on my way. No, this is not how Jesus says to follow him. This is, all right, I'm laying everything down. I let go of everything. I'm going to die to myself. It's a big, uncomfortable ask. But here's how we can do it. Because as we see Jesus' life and see what he did and get insights into his actions towards us, like Philippians 2:6 says, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He emptied himself and he came and he died for us to show us love. And so, yes, we are all called, young to old alike. If you want to follow Jesus, it's going to cost you letting go of everything, but yet we're able to because Jesus already did it. He let go of everything to be with us, to love us. And so if we see that example, it makes it easier on us to do that. Right? He gave up a lot more than we did. You're not God. You don't have the status and the power and abilities that God does, but yeah, he gave that up for you. And so if you see what a sacrifice he gave and how much he let go, and even now, like the story is as he went back to heaven and let us be the ones to represent him on earth. That doesn't always seem very smart of him to let us represent him because we're messed up. But he says, here, you're in charge of building my church. You're in charge of, he didn't stick around, he gave that to us. So he's still surrendering to us. Right, so our call is to surrender to him, but we can because he did it first. His example can give us the motivation, give us the security that, okay, I know he's not going to abuse me, he's not going to crush me, because he already proved he emptied himself for me, therefore I can empty myself to him. All right, so this idea of surrendering and laying down our security, laying down our rights, whether it's with Jesus, whether it's other people, I think it kind of feels like one of those old Western standoffs with all the guys, the guns pointing at each other, and anyone who moves is very tense. It's like, I'm not going to put my gun down because then I have no defense against you and I'm being vulnerable. Or for any Office fans in the house, best Office scene. Yeah, there at the classic. Right, the idea is that we all got our defenses, our offense is up. If you lay it down, you're being vulnerable. But that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. And following Jesus, it can be a little bit like those soccer boys. Last year, was it last spring, that they were trapped in the cave, and then the rains came, and they had to be rescued through, 5 kilometers of cave system. And there was 12, 13 boys that were in there, and to be rescued, they literally had to swim under there, and then they had to swim back out. So they had to leave they were in the safety of a cave. They had to get back in the water and swim out. And man, they had to trust the divers and the Navy SEALs. They had to really trust them. But here's the thing, they could. They could trust that the divers weren't there to hurt them. Even though the divers were putting them in a precarious situation, going underwater, a situation they were uncomfortable, unfamiliar with, they knew they could trust the divers. Why? Because the divers had proved that they were there to save them. The divers had put themselves at very risk only to save them. The divers weren't getting anything out of it. Right, even one of them actually did die. One of the professional trained divers died trying to rescue them. And so those boys knew they could trust the divers. Divers weren't trying to hurt them or abuse them because the divers themselves were sacrificing themselves only to save them. And so with that knowledge, there was some security there. Now, of course, it was still a very harrowing experience, but In the same way, we know we can trust Jesus because he's not trying to abuse us or get anything out of us. He's only trying to help us. He already proved that by sacrificing himself for us. So here's the connection. This is, for all of us in this room, this is the call that God puts on our lives, to lay everything down, follow him. And if we do that, if you're able to lay things down, trust God, then you're going to be able to more securely do that with another person. If your security comes from Jesus, and you're able, you know how to lay down and surrender to him, then you're able to more securely do that with someone you're in relationship to. Again, there's parts of this that works with friendships, with church life, with family, but specifically within a married relationship. You're able to do this. And as the band's coming out, we're going to close here. But this is why we're able to securely surrender this bucket to another person, our rights and our needs, is because Jesus did it for us and we can do it with him. We can securely do it with him, and that gives us a model to how to do it with other people. All right, so what? So I've given you a point how we can follow Jesus as our model. All right, so what do we do with all this? You know, speaking for however many minutes, and what's the takeaway? So if you're married here, if you're here and you're in a spousal relationship, recognize that your spouse needs something that only you can legitimately offer. It's out of their hands, and any other source is illegitimate. You have something, an amazing responsibility, an amazing ability to give to this person. Recognize this huge weight, whether it's intimacy, whether it's time, whether it's sex, whatever it is. Ask them, talk about it, figure out what it is. On a practical level, I wanna, has anyone heard of the five love languages tools? I know it's been very helpful for our relationship, our marriage. This idea that there's different ways that we give and receive love. So for me, mine are words of affirmation and physical touch. Now, for Ashley, when I come in the office and I'm playing with her hair and like poking her shoulder, she says, "I'm not your pet squirrel, okay? Please." Right? So even though I'm expressing love for her, now it's not like, you know, she thinks I'm disgusting and doesn't want to touch her, but there's times and places, right? There's, you know, to be always doing that isn't, for her, it's quality time and acts of service. And so for me, it would be unfair of me to say, "Well, I don't really want to spend any time with you because I already said 10 nice things about you today." Like, to her, that's not helpful, even though to me, the words are very important. So on a practical tool, I would encourage you, if you're married or you just want to know more about yourself, look up five love languages. There's a website, there's a book for it. Practical tool on how do you give and receive love? What's important to you? What's important to your partner? Great tool to use. So that's if you're married. Now for everybody, everyone here, recognize that you need something that only Jesus can offer. You can't place your security and your value. You can't place all the buckets that you have. You can't place them in the hands of another person because they're broken as well. Recognize you have something only Jesus can offer and ask him. It's as simple as this: "Jesus, I've been following my way, or I've been holding on to this part of me too long. I'm gonna let it go. I wanna follow you." It's as simple as that. And so, whether it's in a minute, whether it's driving home, whether it's tonight, say that, pray that. He hears you. It's worth it. So here's how we're gonna end. We're gonna stand and I wanna sing together, sing a song of needing him. So if you're married, remember that responsibility. Give to your spouse. You have it in your hands. And for all of us, let's remember that we need Jesus more than anything else. If you can stand, let's sing.